Yeah, this is actually for the story, what's it called now? Oh yeah, it's the Fair Lady, which I then thought I should maybe try to incorporate into Thank You For Your Cooperation, because, yeah, I think that should be the Fair Lady. Oh yeah. So, I got this idea of looking at a picture here of Marilyn Monroe. It's on social media, and then I thought like this, our hacker girl, who is all of a sudden owner of this amazing Facebook times 10 corporation that used to be owned by that nerdy little guy on the top floor, who then just, she saved the life of, and he then gave her the entire corporation with some password or whatever for the whole thing, and took off to India or whatever. So then she goes back home. She looks at that building. She has, of course, the very top level control codes of the whole thing. Basically, the whole company and the whole world. That only that guy, who was himself a hacker and programmer, one of those savant types, had built there, of course. It was completely super safe, but once you had the password, you had full control. You were God there in a pretty significant part of the world. And so there she is with that password or whatever it is. And or he just tells her to remember it and eat it up, whatever. Or he whispers it in her ear. That's even better. Will you remember that now? This is the only way it can be passed on. And she remembers, and then she goes home, and she's like, was this a dream, the whole thing? Was that some kind of prank that played on me? And she takes that, she remembers that code. And her friends are sitting there, they're hacking or whatever they're doing, one of those club hideouts. And all of a sudden she goes completely quiet, and maybe one or so notices that some other girl there. What is it? Ah, it's nothing really. And she just flips over to something else, because she's not sure if it's good to show this to anyone else. She has to think about it, and so she does, and so she starts noting down that code, and we can even show the code. Password, but then She remembers him saying, this is the only way it's passed on. It can exist. Don't trust anyone. That kind of thing. Traumatic music and all that. And so she remembers that again, and then she just folds up that piece of paper and rips it up, takes the little middle piece there and eats it up. So, and the next scene, I'm seeing the movie, the next scene, it's late at night, everyone else has gone home from there, and she's sitting there alone. Well, no, actually, she's not sitting there, she's sitting at her own laptop at home, or whatever it is. And you see, because what you saw when she just got in there and noticed that, to her surprise, that the password worked, and now she has to remember it, then it just opened up this incredible cool design of that web, that control interface that this guy had built by the best designers in the world, and just for himself, so that he could manage his entire corporation from there, as little or as much as he wanted. He was, of course, a control freak, but not in the obsessive, possessive, whatever sense, but more because he wanted things to work nicely. So he cared about the details, so he could go into any detail and check it out and fix it immediately if he wanted to. So she's sitting there now at night alone, some cool music playing, and a bit sibient stuff. And you see her face there, maybe, and you see the colors, because it's kind of colorful, the whole thing. Maybe that guy, you know, he had also become a psychonaut, and that was not what he was going to pursue by going to India. So he made it a little hippie-ish. Maybe he looks a bit hippie-ish too, or just natural. So anyway, but there she's sitting with this cool, and you see the colored light in her face that's flickering a little bit, like when you show a person sitting in front of the TV. And then you see how she's on her screen, that she's working with this super advanced interface for controlling the company. And then she goes down and clicking at building, and then lights, and goes like that. And then she looks out the window and she sees that building, because it's like the central largest building in the city. She turns off all the lights of it, because it's in such a way that somehow or other, either inside windows or outside the panels of the whole thing, they are covered by tiles that are actually like LEDs. Very smart construction, we can get into that one too. But our guy's clever, so he made that. So you can basically make that building, and it's known for that, the rainbow building or whatever they call it, people there, because it can show any facade, any appearance on the outside that it wants to. It can look like it's made of wood or made of this or that, and at night it can shine very brightly and beautiful colors and patterns. And they have different artists who are getting the honor to design this year's design of that building. These kind of things can be there. So then she is sitting there, and she finds, you know, how they are actually loading animated GIFs or things like that into somewhere, and just clicking you know, okay. And then there's a new pattern there, you have a history of this year, that year, you know, we had this official one. And she just downloads some funny JPEG from the web or GIF, animated GIF, some kind of meme thing. And just slaps it onto that, you know, into that folder and clicks on OK. And then this whole building gets that picture on it. So she's having a real good time, but she needs to turn it back. I mean, she does a reset she realizes the power she has now. And so, what does she do now? So, next here, and I think maybe this could be the second act of the film that we're entering now. This is a kind of a important change here. She's dressed, you know, in this kind of jeans and whatever, a simple t-shirt kind of style with hat, cap on and all that typical, not typical hackerish, but I mean, looking pretty cool for modern contemporary standards among young people, whatever it is. But also kind of personal, not copying anyone. We could just take it, somewhere can design that. Anyway, so, and she goes into a store, one of those real high-class fashion stores. I mean, the real expensive, good ones, where you know, the elite go, the actors and the celebrities go and buy their clothes, and the high-level business people and all that. So she goes in there and walks around, and you see these fine shopkeeper people there, and the clerks or whatever you call those ladies working in there, sales ladies, men, who are just used to serve their customers as if they were kings and lords, because they know that only the richest come here. And then this girl looking like, some wacky, I don't know what, art scene girl enters. And then this other, we can make it comical, this other lady's trying to figure out, who is this? And then, because she looks just not as somebody who's rich, so she kind of sneaks away and talks to another one who's a little younger. You know, I'm not so well informed, but this is some kind of, you know this girl, is she kind of famous, a musician or something? No, I haven't seen her before. So they're completely bewildered. They don't know if to treat her with the greatest contempt or the greatest respect. So we can make something fun out of that and spend as much or little time as we want in here when she's looking at clothes, but it's not about that. So she comes out of there with piles of bags, a typical, like a parody on one of those ladies, but she still has, no, actually she could look like Marilyn Monroe when she comes out. No, she's just the bags. And then she goes into her hairstylist and so on, doing the whole thing. We can just see her going in and out of these shops, hair and the makeup and the whole shebang, shoes, anyway, we would need a good woman advisor to get these things together. And then she's at home there in her little apartment, coming home at night, throwing all the bags down the floor and collapsing on in her armchair or her whatever's bed. I think she should be one of those who sit, works in bed, cross-legged, or something like that. So maybe a low bed, which is good, stiff, not one of those fluffy things. So she's working on that bed too, and that's fine. And she's collapsing on that one, going whoosh. And I think she should have a sidekick, a bird. Maybe one of those, not a typical parrot, or maybe a parrot. She could have a little influence of what's that girl I met? A robin, who used to walk around with a big, was it green or blue parrot on her shoulder? She was known for that. So we could make her a little like that. That's fun, actually. And it could have a decent vocabulary, and some or other have that knack for hitting the right, saying the right thing at the right time. Like some, not AI, but the opposite. Anyway. So then she wakes up next day or whatever, and okay, time to get into action. A new day, a new life. She just sits up, the alarm bell rings, cool melody, and she's really, because she's living she's a member of the awares, you know, she's vegan or vegetarian, whatever, and she drinks milk only from cows that can live a full life, that kind of thing. And so she wakes up really nicely in the morning, and maybe rather than just rushing out there eating some breakfast and drinking the coffee and all that, and now I'm full of passion to take care of the day, she sits there and meditates with her bead bag, cross-legged on her bed, looking at those bags and everything. And she's meditating on it. She's just now, you know, she just became the owner of Facebook times 10 or Google times 10 or whatever. I mean, we'd really blow that company up into enormous proportions. It's one of those. I mean, we don't have to make it the biggest, but it should be a Facebook level, I mean, as it looks today. It could be, that owner could be a kind of more human version of Zuckerberg, who gave the company to her. So anyway, and yeah. And then we see next scene, she's sitting there eating a good breakfast. It's all healthy, nice. And the bird there. talking. I mean, this thing could be animated, for God's sake. I mean, all of them could be. I mean, I could see this as a kind of manga style thing, or one could even blend, I mean, make strange mixes between realistic filmed scene and an animated one, like if you morph them into each other and get some kind of artistic. That's actually interesting. I mean, if you would just take, I guess AI would be able to do that, no problem, in 5 years. You know, take this. That's what it does, actually, already. Take this video that I'm feeding you, this animated GIF, and produce it, output it in manga style or whatever, and then, oh, not so much, pull it down to 3 instead of 5. And that's how you work with this, what do you call it, stable diffusion, that kind of stuff. So it could be something like that, fantastic. But just feeling, either being started as an animation and turned into highly realistic, so it becomes some kind of surreal, hyper-realist painting that moves, which could be very interesting, actually. And the whole thing could be produced as an animation in Blender, whatever, maybe even with grease pencil or old-fashioned animation, and then that can be fed into that AI, which just dresses it up in whatever costume and flesh you want to put on it. That should be possible, should it? Interesting. So anyway, got off track here, but I just started seeing that kind of little manga-ish style that could be cool. And anyway, I could even imagine that this kind of the line between animation and drawings and filmed content will get blurred more and more. Anyway, just my little visionary vision here. So she, because I'm just trying to figure out this scene where to go next. So she's eating her breakfast, and we need some other people there too. Maybe she's calling up a friend, you know, having a little, you know, her best friend or her boyfriend. Because she should have a boyfriend, come on. No, maybe not, actually. No, she's just a friend because she's going to go out there and really do something. So she may say, you know, I'm going away for a while, but you know, it's all cool. Going on a trip here, and sometimes you need to do that too. They have a little talk like that, and sometimes you just need to take a little break, follow your heart, search for yourself, you know, that stuff. And of course a friend understands it perfectly well. So she is talking there about self-realization, finding your real self, and not living just in the surface world. something like that. And then she hangs up and she goes in there and comes out of the apartment dressed up like a super celebrity model, business lady, whatever. As ladies know that art once they get into it. And she's another person, and nobody, none of her or friends, they can even recognize her. I mean, that's not so uncommon and hard to do. You can see these pictures of the celebrities before and after makeup. So we do a thing like that. And in this way, she is kind of a double, has a double identity, right, as an alias. And nobody knows, and that's why it was good that she didn't show it even to her friends. Friends, nobody knows that this is the same person. She's like not a bat lady, but the parrot lady, or the chameleon, something. We could even make her into a superhero if we want, just to have fun. Well, she could do that, actually. That would be really crazy. No. We just make her into that. But that lady that she is now becoming, which is the fair lady, she is fair, a little bit over the top fair. She has these very bluish eyes, and you know, if you take, I thought that a young Nicole Kidman or someone looking like her at that time would work, but maybe a little fairer in appearance like that. She should have some innocence about her and not this kind of slight darkness that often seems to have to hover over modern actors or actresses. Anyway, so she is, because I really thought of this movie as not happening in the West, but in the East. At first I thought, it's in Beijing. And this incredible building there, standing in the middle of it all. But then I thought, well, just some generic Asian city. Because it could be in Japan, it could be Korea, it could be Taiwan, it could be China. I mean, it's not so hard to make a generic Asian huge city. So it could be a bit science fiction-ish in the sense of the city being just almost real. As it appears. Anyway, so there she is. And she's just stepping out on town, you know, into a cab, this, that, whatever, it's cool looking, and playing that game. And of course, I hope it was clear that this telephone conversation she had with a friend was kind of ironic there about her not, you know, being more real and not so artificial and superficial. she's here appearing the completely opposite way, and that's cool and fun in a way. Okay, so there she is, and she's really going out there in society to play the game, and she realizes, and that's a fun, but that's an interesting thing we can do there also, that how the men are towards her. We show that whole thing too. And how she, with that innocent, perfect innocence, because she is actually like that, and she's just playing the role of that kind of femme fatale kind of lady, business, slick business lady. But she's honest and straightforward. But even by being that, by saying truths and whatever she's doing, people will take it the other way, and the men especially, she realizes you're a lady, you can do whatever you want with those guys as long as they see some hope of, you know, getting some carnal satisfaction out of it. And that's kind of a humorous thread that could go through this story. And that's really what I just wanted to say. It became like a whole description here. Maybe I repeated myself, but as usual, there was something specific about this that I now forgot. Anyway, if there was, I will add it to another one.